1966, the Queen's husband, the Duke of Edinburgh, officially opened the Royal Australian Mint in Canberra. Now, despite all the regal appellations there, you know, Royal, Duke, the event actually signified a major departure from the imperial monetary system of pounds, shillings and pence. These were replaced by the decimal system of dollars and cents, as used by Americans, which is a lot more straightforward, don't you think?
A little bit. Where do we... So if the mint only opened in 66, where did we get our money from before that?
Well, in the first decades, early decades of colonisation, all the money was shipped over from England. In the 1850s, the legislative councils of both New South Wales and Victoria lobbied Queen Victoria to establish branches of the Royal Mint in their states, but only New South Wales was successful. Victoria did get its own branch 20 years later after the state had gotten rich from the gold rush that they had going on there. And this was where all of Australia's coinage came from until the mint opened in Canberra. So that's where you'd go to get if you wanted the shiniest coins. Go to the mint. I've been there. It's very nice, very shiny place.
Yeah, it's been a while since I went there, and they've got like the specialised coins, I think.
Yeah, they've got coins on display. I remember seeing you could buy a special $15 coin that's legal tender. It only costs like $300 or something.
It's an interesting trade. Maybe if you wanted to show off your disposable income, you could just go around spending $15 coins.
Buy lesser income, yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting pastime.
What else happened on this day?
Well, today is the day Dolly the Sheep was first revealed to the world. Ooh. Do you remember her, Tom?
Dolly the Sheep? I don't remember the exact... I didn't meet her, and no. I don't remember the exact age she was revealed, but I do know of Dolly the Sheep.
You know a bit about her story? Well, she was revealed on this day. She was, of course, the first animal to be successfully cloned from an adult cell. And spoilers, stay tuned for later in the show when we'll hear about an animal that's learned how to clone itself and has gone on to sort of take over the world.
You might want to hear about that. That's coming up at 7:35, though. What else do you have on Dolly?
Dolly was cloned by Keith Campbell, Ian Wilmot and the colleagues at the Roslin Institute, which is part of the University of Edinburgh in Scotland. The donor cell was taken from a mammary gland, and the result proved that specific cells could recreate whole, entire individuals.
Hmm. What was the sort of legacy of Dolly the Sheep? What has it meant for cloning nowadays?
Well, it's not so big in the cloning world. I mean, cloning is still very much a work in progress. It's still sort of hit and miss in terms of its success rate. But rather, Dolly had major impacts for the advancement in stem cell research. After Dolly, researchers realized that ordinary cells could be reprogrammed into induced pluripotent stem cells, which can, of course, be grown into any tissue. Also in 2016, four identical clones of Dolly named Debbie, Daisy, Diana and Denise were alive and healthy at the age of 9 years old.
So I didn't realise they did more clones. Maybe if it was that she gave birth to them would have been interesting, but I think that's the plot of Blade Runner 2049. So as always, we do like to end on a bit of music. So what music history do you have for us on this day?
Well, in 1968, Otis Redding broke into the UK charts for the first time with Sitting on the Dock of a Bay. Now, this song became the first posthumous single to top the US charts, as Redding sadly died in a plane crash, aged only 26, shortly after its release. I mention that because, incidentally, today is also the day Heath Ledger won a posthumous Academy Award for his depiction of the Joker 9 years ago.
Some tragic losses of some great talent on this day. Well, let's honour that legacy, though, with Sitting on the Dock of the Bay. Thank you for joining us, Nick.
Cheers, Tom.